You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Yeah. Jamaica, y'all. Come on. You preacher, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preacher.
Babies, teach the children. Welcome, folks, to this episode of Revolutionary Health and Fitness. My name is John Thomas. You'll be on ball with me for about an hour. And I like to, excuse me, folks. I like to start off this episode with something near and dear to a lot of our hearts, especially Africans. I was talking to a sister the other day in the gym, Tyrone Lewis Community Gym, to be exact, where I am the manager. That's located at 1327 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Street South, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. Come check us out. Know a lot of you guys made some resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Come on by the gym. We got some nice specials going on. But today, I want to start off by talking about high blood pressure. I read an interesting article by a guy who's somewhat revolutionary in his thought process when it comes to health and fitness. And his name is Dr. Mercola. And you can go to his website, drmercola.com, and check out a lot of interesting facts that he has on there, pulled from a lot of different data, And, you know, this guy's been saying what I've been telling people all along at the gym. In regards to high blood pressure and medications. So, let me just read you some of this article and just follow along with me. So it says that according to the Journal of American Medical Association, in July of 2003, despite the number of drugs available and the number of prescriptions written, no real progress has been made in controlling high blood pressure among the U.S. adult population. No real progress, right? This is 2003. Interestingly enough, another study reported by the Archives of Internal Medicine in 2000 revealed 30% of patients with mild to moderate hypertension responded well to a placebo, proof that they were able to control their blood pressure without medication. Placebo is fake, y'all. So, high blood pressure. One of the first things they tell you when you get to the hospital or get to the doctor, your doctor is, does your mother have it? Does your father have it? Okay, yeah, that's why you have it, right? It's pretty much the script. But no, we say no. We say that it's your lifestyle, it's the environment that gave you that high blood pressure. That's it. Just because your mother had it don't mean you're going to have it. Now, what's more likely is that your parents, our parents, they ate fried food, so-called soul food, greasy foods, lots of stuff loaded with sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and that in turn led to obesity. That led to high blood pressure. Not something genetic. You know, that food that we've been eating for generations that we thought was so-called soul food, that's what led to it. So the article goes on to say, thousands of Americans with high blood pressure have placed their faith in the medical system, but they are being systematically sacrificed on the altar of the drug company's greed. All right? This is coming from Dr. Mercola and his studies, okay? But of course, if you're listening to this show right now, you are not one of those putting your faith in the medical system, the medical industrial complex, whose only concern is profits over people, whose only concern is prescribing medications with dire side effects. So, in the article it says, a study by the British Medical Association in 2003 revealed 97% of people taking drugs for high blood pressure had suffered significant side effects at some point during treatment. Fellas, I want to talk to you for a second if I can. A lot of you have experienced some of these side effects like erectile dysfunction. Let's talk about erectile dysfunction. Let's talk about drugs like Viagra, which sometimes they subsequently prescribe to you after they prescribe high blood pressure medication to you, right? Or Viagra. Let's talk about this and talk about the greed of this medical industrial complex. Did you know, and this is a fact, that these so-called ED, erectile dysfunction drugs, were originally proposed to be high blood pressure medication? Think of it. They are vasodilators. Open up your veins so blood can go through, thereby lowering your blood pressure. Because what happens is in those veins, they get constricted, right? Smaller, plaque buildup, and these kind of things that narrow, constrict blood flow. And your heart has to work harder, And which is why, at the same time, untreated blood pressure, that is, if you do not make a lifestyle change, can also lead to erectile dysfunction. Because remember, that's a... in order for you to attain and maintain an erection, right, that blood has to flow down there. That blood has to flow. And if it doesn't, guess what? It won't happen. Well, initially, these Levitra, Viagra, these drugs were proposed as being high blood pressure medications because that's what they do. They open up the arteries. They open up so that blood flow could happen. So they were introduced as that initially. But when they found out that one of the side effects was your ability to maintain an erection, they said, no way. Sex sells more than this high blood pressure stuff. Let's market it as a sexual stimulant. And that's what they did. I just thought I'd drop that on you, you know, just to know. But keep in mind that one of the side effects of high blood pressure medication is erectile dysfunction. And a lot of fellas I talk to, some of them at the gym that's on that has experienced that and asked me what can they do, you know, naturally. We'll get into that a little later. Let's talk about facts about high blood pressure everyone should know. 1 in 3 U.S. adults has high blood pressure. Did you hear me? 1 in 3. Nearly a third of people with hypertension don't know they have the condition. Nearly a third of people with hypertension don't know they have the condition. Folks, we just had a weightlifting slash health fair at the Tyrone Lewis Community Gym in October. Jeff Tones from the St. Pete Free Clinic was gracious enough to stop by and do free health screenings, diabetes and high blood pressure. Out of the 40 or so people that he checked, he told me, made an announcement on the mic, that 90% of them were critical, didn't even know that they had it. And he subsequently made appointments for them. But this is important. The people are walking around with high sugar and hypertension, the silent killer, okay? A third of people with hypertension don't know that they have the condition. Number 3, over 40% are not being treated, right? Nearly a third of people with hypertension don't know they have high blood pressure symptoms. And this came from the Journal of the American Medical Association. All right? You only have 3 chances out of 100 of being side effect free if you choose to take drugs to control high blood pressure. Now, according to Dr. McCullough, these drug companies have been so utterly corrupted that they have brainwashed the majority of us into thinking drugs are the solution, even though lifestyle changes have been shown to normalize blood pressure levels in over 85% of sufferers. He goes on to say it's time someone stepped forward and had the guts to expose one of the greatest criminal conspiracy of our time. What have we been talking about for so long, huh? What have we been talking about for so long? Right. We categorically deny everything. Right. This imperialist empire has to offer and says to us. I mean, if they tell you it's raining outside, go out and check yourself. OK. Deny it all. Do your research. You do not have to accept this. I would not accept that. I wouldn't accept anything when it comes to anything that they say. The medical industrial complex. Anything, okay? What's even unfortunate is that you may already, I'm sorry, let me go back. It said it's time for someone step forward and had the guts to expose one of the greatest criminal conspiracies of our time. Folks, this stuff just gets me mad, okay? And that's why I like to spit, anyway, let's go on. And it can be shown exactly what you need to do step by step to normalize your blood pressure naturally. What's even unfortunate is that you may already have B12 deficiency without you knowing it. Symptoms of this condition may only manifest after a number of years as influenced by your diet and your body's absorption of B12. Okay? So, let's take a look at some more facts before we go to a commercial. In December 2003, 45 million healthy Americans became new potential consumers of antihypertensive drugs. Why? Because the 7th Joint National Committee, JNC, report ushered in new guidelines for blood pressure readings, despite the fact that there is absolutely no evidence these people are at risk of chronic high blood pressure. While the connection between insulin levels, stress, and high blood pressure is proven, there isn't a word about this in the gold standard medical report. This is the go-to report, people. This is what the imperialists say everyone ought to go to, all the doctors and hospitals and critical care units. This is what they have to follow. Nothing in there mentioned about the link between high insulin and blood pressure. Nothing in there mentioned about stress and blood pressure. Do you see what's going on here? So in other words, right? Normal blood pressure, 120 over 80, is now not normal anymore. You are now in the pre-stage of hypertension. So guess what? That's more money. You heard it. More money for the pharmaceutical companies. You go get your blood pressure checked. Doctor says 120 over 80. I think I need to put you on medication because according to what, folks? The gold standard medical report, you are now pre-hypertensive. That's more money, right? Follow the tricks they playing. You follow the tricks they playing. Okay? Anyway, the JNC report has obviously heavily obscured the facts, all in the name of the mighty dollar. It's remarkable just how heavy its emphasis on drugs actually is, and at many times on multiple drugs in combination to treat the causes of high blood pressure. Listen, folks, I know people who's taking 5, 6, 7, 8 different medications for high blood pressure, right? You've been kept in the dark too long by the pill pushers and money grubbers. The road to real health means making your own choices and not just accepting what the health establishment says you should do. You hear that? You've been kept in the dark about this. Kept in the dark. Folks, I want to talk more about this whole high blood pressure conspiracy because, for one, this when you hear those statistics, it affects Africans at a much higher rate. We are the ones who go untreated, for the most part. We are the ones who subsequently having the strokes, not having the heart attacks and dying from the heart attacks because we don't have adequate health care. Never going to get it under this imperialist system that we as colonized people find ourselves under. Not going to happen. And so that's why this is near and dear to my heart. High blood pressure. I myself suffered from high blood pressure some time ago, and what I did was completely against doctor's orders, completely against it. I mean, I stopped everything that I was doing that made my body toxic. I didn't even take medication. I stopped eating red meat. Yeah, red meat. Stopped eating fried food. Stopped drinking alcohol. I started exercising, started back exercising on a daily basis. especially resistance training. The effects of resistant training last longer than cardio. I had to lose weight. I was almost 300 pounds. I was about 4 or 5 pounds short of being 300 pounds. So I definitely had to lose weight. That was a given. But the weight that I lost, right, was quality weight. It wasn't just weight from going on some starvation diet. You know, let me tell you something about these diets, man. If you want to lose weight, I could pretty much tell you that all of these diets are going to work. You know, all of these diets that are advertised on TV, on the radio, in the back of these magazines, they are going to work. You will lose the weight. But the quality of the weight you lose, that's where it becomes a hoax versus reality, right? Because guess what? You starve yourself for a few days, you're going to lose weight. But as soon as you eat something, you're going to blow back up again. You starve yourself, you're not only going to lose weight, you're going to lose muscle mass. You're going to be weak. You're going to be lethargic, right? You're not going to be able to hold your head up. You're going to be so tired all the time as opposed to having energy, right? As opposed to turning your body into a fat-burning machine, you're simply going to just wither away from starving. It's not the way to lose weight. Brings me back to resistance training. Though the effects of resistance training last days. Guess what? You run on a treadmill for an hour. Guess what? 20 minutes, 30 minutes after that run, the effects of that run are gone. Hear what I'm saying? No, I'm going to get a lot of backlash. Everybody think, oh, cardio got to be the way to go to lose weight. Got to be, you know. I'm going to just run it off. I'm going to just do that. Not true. Now, I'm not telling you not to do cardio. You know, in conjunction with a resistance training, your weight loss could be exponentially accelerated in conjunction with, not in isolation of, resistance training. Okay? So, I'm going to go to a commercial, and I'll be back after these messages.
There are more U.S. reporters covering the New York Yankees than there are covering the entire continent of Africa.
And it's a shame when we as African people, we make up damn near the majority of the city, but we have to fight to get on white ruling class media.
That tells you something about the priorities of the news media in this country.
We are engaged in a war of ideas.
Warning.
You're locked in to Uhuru Radio.
Stand by.
Right here, right now.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
All right then. I and I no mix with the wicked men. I and I said trample the...
Uhuru Radio was envisioned as a means by which our community, our people, our party, our revolutionary aspirations could contend with the ruling class in this war of ideas that contributes to maintaining the oppression of African people. Part of what African internationalism, Garveyism in the 21st century is about is ending that isolation, is bringing African people together in common struggle. And Uhuru Radio, it allows Africans in any place in the world to have access to other Africans so that reinforcements are always on the way, no matter where it is that we're struggling and no matter what may be the temporary setbacks.
Finally, the station you've been looking for.
Uhuru Radio. No degrading lyrics.
I never call you my boo. It's so much in the name and so much more in you.
Progressive.
And you love her up to us. So you buy her a diamond. If I want to die, oh, don't you think there's something wrong with it?
Inform.
informative.
And millions of dollars leave Sierra Leone in the form of diamonds, yet the people who mine the diamonds make 30 cents a day and a cup of rice. That's the reality all over Africa.
And revolutionary.
AFDEF is an organization of the Uhuru movement that was built in 2007 in order to organize African doctors, nurses, scientists, engineers, and other skilled Africans around the world to coordinate a variety of development projects that work to transform the miserable conditions of existence that have been imposed on our people around the world.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
Uhuru Radio is developing a new programming schedule to include more music, cultural, educational, political, and multilingual programs from around the world. We are professionalizing the technical delivery of our programming, improving our sound quality and presentation. We are working to make our audio stream more accessible through mobile devices and distribution networks. This is your media, Uhuru News, Uhuru Radio, and the Burning Spear newspaper, the voice of the International African Revolution. We rely on your support to get the truth out about our struggle for freedom. Become a member today. Your donation of any amount will make a difference.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
Well, we're getting ready.
Uhuru. We back, folks. Once again, my name is John Thomas. I'm your host, Revolutionary Health and Fitness. And, we just learned some interesting facts about high blood pressure and the whole medical industrial complex and, just the lies that are so pervasive about, the medicines and the drugs that you need to take in order to lower your, high blood pressure. Now, what I will say is this, with those drugs, the side effects, they come. Dangerous side effects. And so I know the pill seems like it's much more easier to take, to deal with. But in the long run, it's not, folks. Trust me what I'm telling you. When you are in a hospital room and you just had a stroke or a heart attack, trust me, it is, the benefits of struggling to correct this condition naturally outweighs that, quick fix of taking a pill. Okay. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle to change. I was talking to a sister in the gym the other day. And we were talking about the things that she thought were healthy. I get a lot of people say, I eat pretty good, so I'm okay in that department. They come to the gym, they want to lose weight. Just talking to her. I'm pretty good on what I eat. So I always ask them what they eat, write down a list. And sure enough, I see things on there that are red flags. And I was telling her about an article I read about milk and hormones and antibiotics that they put in cows that eventually translate into their milk, that eventually translate into your child. Humans being the only creatures on earth that still find the need to, find the need to drink another animal's milk, but anyway, we talked about the cow industry, the whole farming industry. 80% of antibiotic use orders for antibiotics comes from them. And what's happening now is that people, human beings, are becoming immune to antibiotics, right? Because of overuse. They have found out, talking about the farming industry, that the use of antibiotics in their livestock, if you want to call it that, proliferates their growth, makes them grow faster, makes them grow bigger, faster and bigger. Antibiotics, the thing about antibiotics is that they are indiscriminate. They kill all. They kill good bacteria. They kill the good bacteria that's in your gut, right? It's called a microbiome, right? Good bacteria that keeps things in order, right? It kills it. Kills everything. That's what it is. That's what it does. And so because they are feeding cows unnatural diets like corn, the cows get sick. Of course, they got to feed them antibiotics. But they found out as a consequence of that, they get bigger, right? And so now that steak that's in your supermarket, because these things are genetically transferred, right? That milk that's in your supermarket, you put in your cereal, it's in cheeses, it's in, you know, it's in a whole lot of different things that we buy and we eat, becomes a part of us as well, right? So we, every day, most of us are getting low doses of antibiotics in our system, right? Every day. Every day you give your child that milk with his or her cereal, or you yourself, or put them cheese in the eggs that come from the milk that comes from the cow, the chicken, the eggs, you know, unless it says antibiotic free, you know, hormone free, you're getting low doses of this stuff, right? And so we getting low doses of antibiotics in the foods that we consume on a daily basis. So when it comes to strep throat and the doctor goes to give you a simple antibiotic, you don't respond to it. Why? Because you've been getting it your whole life. You follow what this is doing to us? Huh? You've been getting it your whole life, thinking it's healthy, thinking because some agency with some initials said you need to get this much calcium and milk is a good source. It's been a lie, right? The milk industry is behind those letters, that's behind that so-called government agency. It's big money behind that, okay? You know, try alternative milks. We are about solutions, not just listing problems, but about solutions. Try almond milk, try cashew milk, nut milks. I know you're gonna say my kid doesn't like it, you know? He's been used to this cow's milk. Well, guess what? That's a down payment on a disastrous health life for the rest of your child's life. So what's more important to you? What your child likes now, or his or her health from now on into his or her adult life? Okay, folks? It's a war going on out there. A war that most of us can't see. Some of it we do see. They are attacking us from all angles. They're not just gunning us down in the streets, right? They're gunning us down in the dinner plate. Yeah, they're killing us with foods. They're killing us with so-called supplements and vitamins that have absolutely no value at all. That's how they're killing us. Man, this gets me hot. Anyway, I'm moving on to something else that's near and dear to my heart. Going back to that young lady, we talked about wheat, right? She said, yeah, I eat wheat bread. I don't eat white bread no more. Because, yeah, they told me wheat bread. I read wheat bread is what I need to be eating, right? Grains. So let's talk about this. I'm reading you parts of an article. The name of the article is The Real Reason Wheat is Toxic, right? And it's from the Healthy Home Economist. And it starts off by saying, confused parents wondering why wheat consumption sometimes triggered autoimmune reactions in their children, but not at other times, right? She goes on to say, in my own home, I've long pondered why my husband can eat the wheat I prepare at home, but he experiences negative digestive effects eating even a single roll in a restaurant. There is clearly something going on with wheat that is not well known by the general public. It goes far and beyond organic versus non-organic, gluten or hybridization, because even conventional wheat triggers no symptoms for some who eat wheat in other parts of the world. What indeed is going on with wheat? For quite some time, I secretly harbored the notion that wheat in the United States must, in fact, be genetically modified, which it is. GMO wheat secretly invading the North American food supply seemed the only thing that made sense and could account for the varied experiences I was hearing about. I reasoned that it couldn't be the gluten or wheat hybridization. Gluten and wheat hybrids have been consumed for thousands of years. It just didn't make sense that this could be the reason for so many people suddenly having problems with wheat and gluten in general in the past 5 to 10 years. Finally, the answer came over dinner a couple of months ago with a friend who was well-versed in the wheat production process. I started researching the issue for myself and was quite frankly horrified at what I discovered. Wow, she was horrified. We've been talking about this. Listen up, folks. The good news is that the reason wheat has become so toxic in the United States is not because it is secretly GMO, as I have feared. The bad news is that the problem lies with the manner in which wheat is grown and harvested by conventional wheat farmers. She goes on to say, you're going to want to sit down for this one. I've had some folks burst into tears in horror when I passed along this information. Common wheat harvest protocol in the United States is to drench the wheat fields with Roundup several days before the combined harvesters work through the fields, as the practice allows for an earlier, easier, and bigger harvest. Let me break that down. Roundup is a weed killer, okay? So this is where you have to understand dialectics, okay? Because it is genetically modified, you know. And the thing about Roundup, it is a weed killer produced, made by Monsanto's, okay? And what they're saying is that they farmers found out that if they drench their harvest days before it's time to pick it, they get a bigger harvest. So once again, folks, it's about money, right? It's not about your health. It's about money, okay? So she goes on to say, pre-harvest application of the herbicide Roundup or other herbicides containing the deadly active ingredient glyphosate. Keep that in mind. That's the active ingredient to wheat and barley as a desiccant. Desiccant means it dries it up. That's what it means. Dries it up, right? Was suggested as early as 1980. It has since become routine over the past 15 years and is used as a drying agent 7 to 10 days before harvest within the conventional farming community. According to Dr. Stephanie Seneff of MIT, who has studied the issue in depth and who I recently saw present on the subject at a nutritional conference in Indianapolis, desiccating non-organic wheat crops with glyphosate just before harvest came into vogue fashion late in the 1990s, with the result that most of the non-organic wheat in the United States is now contaminated with it. Seneff explains that when you expose wheat to a toxic chemical like glyphosate, it actually releases more seeds, resulting in a slightly greater yield. You follow? When they expose it, the Roundup, to the wheat, makes more seeds, they get more wheat. That means more money. Your health be damned. It's about money, right? According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as of 2012, 99% of durum wheat, 97% of spring wheat, and 61% of winter wheat has been treated with herbicides. This is the U.S. Department of Agriculture's stats, okay? This is an increase from 88% for durum wheat, 91% for spring wheat, and 47% for winter wheat since 1998. You hear that? 88%. Cha-ching! You hear the cash register drawer opening and closing? More money. Check it out. Here's what wheat farmer Keith Lewis has to say about the practice. This is a wheat farmer. He says, and I quote, "I have been a wheat farmer for 50 years, and one wheat production practice that is very common is applying the herbicide Roundup, glyphosate, just prior to harvest. Roundup is licensed for pre-harvest weed control. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, claims that application to plants at over 30% kernel moisture result in Roundup uptake by the plant into the kernels. Farmers like this practice because Roundup kills the wheat plant, allowing an earlier harvest. A wheat field often ripens unevenly. Thus, applying Roundup pre-harvest evens up the greener parts of the field with more mature. The result is on the less mature areas, Roundup is translocated into the kernels and eventually harvested as such." Basically, folks, they're saying that they get a bigger yield when they put that Roundup on it. This practice is not licensed. Farmers mistakenly call it desiccation. Consumers eating products made from wheat flour are undoubtedly consuming minute amounts of Roundup. You dig that? You eating that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Low doses of that stuff for years. Guess what? You talking about 15 years. They've been doing it since the 80s. Right. Yeah. Okay. Picture that. An interesting aside, malt barley, which is made into beer, is not acceptable in the marketplace if it has been sprayed with pre-harvest Roundup. So, you know, the barley that they use for beer, they can't spray that with Monsanto's, but they can put it on your bread. Go figure. Anyway, lentils and peas are not accepted in the marketplace if it was sprayed with pre-harvest Roundup, but wheat is okay. Again, here's what another farmer, his name is Seth Woodland of Woodland and Wheat in Idaho, had to say about the practice of using herbicides for wheat dry down. He says, "That practice is bad. I have fellow farmers around me that do it, and it is sad. Lucky for you, not all of us farm that way. Being the farmer and also the president of a business, we are proud to say that we do not use Roundup on our wheat ever." Good for you, Mr. Woodland. This practice is not just widespread in the United States either. The Food Standards Agency in the United Kingdom reports that use of Roundup as a wheat desiccant results, right? Here we go, United Kingdom. Oh, wow. Glyphosate residues regularly showing up in bread samples. Other European countries are waking up to the danger. However, in the Netherlands, use of Roundup is completely banned, with France likely soon to follow. Okay? They're trying to take care of their citizens, maybe? I doubt it. Anyway, using Roundup on wheat crops throughout the entire growing season and even as a desiccant just prior to harvest may save the farmer money and increase profits, but it is devastating to the health of the consumer who ultimately consumes the glyphosate residue laden wheat kernels. Okay? Of course, the herbicide industry maintains that glyphosate is minimally toxic to humans, right? Just a little bit toxic, they say. Research published in the journal Entropy strongly argues otherwise by shedding light on exactly how glyphosate disrupts mammalian physiology. In other words, how it affects you, a mammal, right? This was authored by Anthony Samzel and Stephanie Seneff of MIT. The paper investigates glyphosate's inhibition of cytochrome. Okay, they're going to get into some real big words here, but basically how it kills your enzymes and your hormone-making producing ability, right? So the currently accepted view is that glyphosate is not harmful to humans or any mammals. That's what Monsanto said. Well, actually, they said a little toxic, right? This flawed view is so pervasive in the conventional farming community that Roundup salesmen have been known to foolishly drink it during presentation. Hear these fools drink it, right? Shh, boy, oh boy. However, just because Roundup doesn't kill you immediately doesn't make it non-toxic. In fact, the active ingredient in Roundup lethally disrupts the all-important shikimic pathway found in beneficial gut microbes, which is responsible for the synthesis, the making of critical amino acids. Folks, we talked about the gut bacteria, how important that is, right? That's what we were born out of. All of your immune, basically all of your immune system is in your guts, right? And this disrupts that whole process, what they spraying the wheat with, okay? So now you see this whole big movement towards gluten-free and this, that, and the third. That's not going to solve the problem. You know, I tell you what's going to solve the problem. Smashing imperialism and colonialism to the ground. Getting rid of that will solve the problem. Because, folks, look, these corporations, this is what they're doing. They don't care about you, right? They don't care about these so-called diseases that's popping up out of nowhere. You know, all of a sudden now your kids got ADHD and they can't concentrate in school all of a sudden, right? And dialectic says we have to put things in proper perspective from the beginning to the middle, and we can pretty much predict the future. But we have a better future, folks. We have to take it in our own hands. Let's talk about growing our own food without the use of chemicals, dangerous pesticides, and herbicides. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about rolling up our sleeves, getting to know your neighbors next door and say, hey, neighbor, let's go get some of these organic seeds and plant, and I donate an hour of my time and you donate an hour of your time. Before you know, we have a community garden where we can get fresh fruits and vegetables from. How about let's do that, right? As opposed to patronizing these stores who are slowly, slowly killing us, right? Remember what the article said, folks. Just because you're not dying now after you eat a slice of wheat bread or drink that glass of milk or that water out the tap, right, doesn't mean that it won't happen later. It's a down payment, right? Like when you go buy a car, right? The car costs 30 grand. They say, oh, well, we know you ain't got the whole 30 grand right now, but you can put a down payment on it, right? Give me a little bit down. How's your credit? Okay. Put a little bit down and make payments on it. Right? That's what's happening with these so-called foods masquerading as drugs. They're sickening. Huh? They're putting a down payment on bad health down the road. Things that you the doctor told you should normally look out for when you get 30 and 40 and you know, In that age range. I got kids at my kids' fit camp suffering from it right now. 8 years old. 10 years old. Sugar diabetes. Trust me, believe it, folks. I'm on the front line. I'm seeing it. Hypertension. right? I talked to the parents. Stop giving your kids these fast foods, sodas, so-called juices. They call them 100% juice. Those are marketing tactics. Those are gimmicks that they use. They know that catches people's eye. 100% juice. All natural. Lies. All lies. Right? I'm going to say this, though. You know, if you can, try to develop a relationship with a farmer. Go to the farmer's market. Try to get it fresh picked. If you can afford it, try to get organic. I know that's an issue. But again, it goes back to, you know, we got to take control of our community. You know? Let's talk about that community garden thing. That's taking control. You know, when you can control what you eat, right? There's a lot of other things on the table that we need to control, folks. But, of course, we need to live, right, to see this thing through. We need to sustain ourselves. They are killing us off. They are killing us quietly, right? They advertise cocaine as dangerous and, you know, controlled substance. There are far more people dying every day from malnutrition, okay, than there is cocaine use, okay? Of course, I'm not saying to go out there and use cocaine. I'm just telling you the kind of games that this system is playing on us, this tricknology that they're playing on us, right? They can pretty much, that's a whole nother matter. They control that too. But they can pretty much get over with killing you with food because you don't even know it's there. You don't know it's in you. You think you're eating good, right? Anyway, folks, I got a few minutes left. And I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause. And I'll be back with some more words of wisdom. So you just stay tuned. And Revolutionary Health and Fitness will be right back.
To leave the Uhuru House here in St. Petersburg, I'll be heading down to Central Avenue and 5th Street, where we'll be having a civil disobedience demonstration.
I'm sorry, folks. We're having some technical difficulty. Queuing up our commercial. We're having a little technical difficulty, but that's okay. I got 2 minutes left. Let me read you a passage from the book Drugs Masquerading as Foods, by Dr. Suzar, and it says, we talked about cooked foods. All cooked food is slow poison. Cooking itself creates additional toxins in the food. Whenever raw food is cooked, it is corrupted at the molecular level and no longer qualifies as health-giving food. The higher the heat or longer it's cooked, the more toxic the food becomes. Worse yet, if the food is cooked over direct flame heat or charcoal fire, right? Benzopyrene, a powerful carcinogen, is produced. A pound of charcoal broiled steak or any charcoal broiled food is estimated to have as much benzopyrene as in the smoke of 300 cigarettes. Folks, we have to get back to our native diets. Fruits, vegetables, right? Start moving away from the cooked foods. Start moving away from the meats.